coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, very much contrasting the global trend today, the ore share gaining 0.9%. And as you can see there, bulk of the heavy lifting being done by the resources 10 component, it up just over 1%, as was the industrial 25. Of course, that weaker rand coming to bear and taking effect there. Financial 15 in the meantime, 0.86% to the good. And that despite the nervousness still around South Africa's economic growth scenario. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the day's markets action, Stephen Schultz from Momentum. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So that the trading day that was in a nutshell, and I want to start off on the currency scene first, because we've had quite a bit of weakness filtered through to the local unit, and this as developments unfold in Turkey. We've had Turkey guarding against a reoccurrence of Friday's sell-off, and you know, making it now impossible, I guess, for foreign investors to exit their lira positions ahead of this weekend's local elections. Implications for emerging market currencies like the rand. We've seen some of it. Whether we've seen the extent of it all is the big question.
I suppose it's an exceptionally unnatural scenario, trying to trap foreign money into one's country. The reason for doing so is obvious. I mean, they would hate to see a flight of cash just in the run-up to an election. But we're seeing almost all emerging markets getting punished in tandem with the Turkish lira. We've seen Turkish lira volatility, implied volatility, spike 35%, so more than double the South African rand, so spare a thought for them. But the South African rand nonetheless suffering as a result. So we saw quite a bit of pressure exerted on the rand today amongst other emerging market currencies, and probably not going to go away until we at least see the Turkish elections behind us.
And not just against the dollar, but across the board, the pound, we've been taking a smack against that unit, you know, with Brexit uncertainties weighing. And I guess those Brexit considerations intensify even more so today.
Look, I think the pound's been a very different scenario. So the pound, we're almost in fact, as we speak, we see the British Parliament taking control over Brexit negotiations. They're effectively going into a period now of voting for the next couple of hours. We are very likely to see Theresa May sacrifice her job as a result. But hopefully what becomes of this is a bit of clarity. So what happens now is we see all 16 scenarios put on the table. Parliament can vote on all of them simultaneously, so it's not your favorite, but rather each and every one to stop anti-selection. And although this will not be legally binding, the vote, at least we're going to get some direction from Parliament. What is a little bit odd in the scenario, over and above the manner in which they conduct the vote, is the fact that everything is up for take again. So Brexit, no Brexit, hard Brexit, back to referendum, all options on the table again, which is a little bit confusing for markets.
Absolutely. While that weaker rand has you know, stood supportive of our miners today, that positive performance that we saw the resources sector put on today, a bit of an illusion given all that's playing out locally. We've heard today that the Minerals Council of South Africa is headed to court challenging the third iteration of the mining charter, and that bringing uncertainty and question marks back into the forefront.
Yeah, so look, you have to feel for miners at the moment. Mining charter is an absolute mess. I think it is an exceptionally difficult environment. It obviously requires a lot of capex. There's long timelines to projects, and therefore all the more important to get certainty prior to deploying of capital or investing in projects. We're seeing a lot of companies trim back on projects, unfortunately. The main point of dispute at the moment is the backward looking of previous transactions, which I think is a reasonable request from industry to acknowledge past transactions. Unfortunately, it does not seem to be an easy one to negotiate, and therefore headed to court.
And it's in that context that we've got the likes of a Sibanye putting on the table the fact that it will be considering its primary listing options. So not entirely, you know, delisting off the JSE, but a significant move nevertheless, because it points once again, as Naspers did, to how, you know, these companies that are on the chase for global opportunities are going to be chasing cheaper funding mechanisms simultaneously.
Yeah, so I think the dynamics between the Naspers and the Sibanye are slightly different. So Naspers obviously looking to unlock some of that deep discount in the counter, and of course to access larger pools of capital. The larger pools of capital, I suppose, is a similarity. One can't deny the fact that South Africa is a small market and it is very attractive to tap into global funding. So I think that is a very reasonable one. But one can't help but sense in the current environments with all the negativity and the ongoing conflict that there is a little bit of a desire from miners to perhaps expand their horizons abroad as well, which is unfortunate.
With these primary listings shifting but secondary listings remaining on the JSE, are you anticipating much of a change when it comes to trading volumes on the JSE itself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's one of the undeniable benefits. You know, as you expand your horizons and move abroad, I think liquidity should
okay, so for the good.
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to talk about Steinhoff because we're talking about raising capital, and it's raised 4.8 billion rand by selling its remaining 26% stake in CAP Industrial. Of course, funds going to be used to meet the company's debt obligations, providing you any comfort or very
yeah,
little?
So look, I actually think it was a great result for both counters. 4.8 billion doesn't go a long way in terms of debt restructuring for Steinhoff, but it certainly is helpful. And I think CAP is definitely a beneficiary in that it manages to distance itself from some of that negative stigmatism that came with being associated to Steinhoff. So a good result for both, I think.
Okay, but you are taking your stock pick offshore, so let's hone into Apple this
evening. I am. So this evening is Apple. There's been a lot of news from Apple. We saw last week a lot of hardware announcements, but perhaps more interesting on Monday, we saw them announcing that they will be going head-to-head with video streaming services, the likes of Netflix primarily. We saw them react quite negatively on the day. Their share price was down about 2% when Netflix was rallying quite hard. Mm-hmm. I think in that is a little bit of an admission that they are late to market. Netflix has already managed to accumulate 138 million paid subscribers. We don't have a lot of detail on Apple's plans, other than knowing that it will not be an advertising-based income stream, but rather a subscription service. I think if anyone is able to master a late entrance into a market, is of course Apple with its loyal client base. It is down about 15% over a six-month period and trades at a very undemanding 15 PE at the moment, and I think should certainly be added to one's portfolio at these levels.
Okay, so one to watch. Let's leave it there, Stephen. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Stephen Schultz is with Momentum. You are taking your stock pick offshore, so let's hone into Apple this
evening.
I am.
So this evening is Apple. There's been a lot of news from Apple. We saw last week a lot of hardware announcements, but perhaps more interesting on Monday, we saw them announcing that they will be going head-to-head with video streaming services, the likes of Netflix primarily. We saw them react quite negatively on the day. Their share price was down about 2% when Netflix was rallying quite hard. Mm-hmm. I think in that is a little bit of an admission that they are late to market. Netflix has already managed to accumulate 138 million paid subscribers. We don't have a lot of detail on Apple's plans, other than knowing that it will not be an advertising-based income stream, but rather a subscription service. I think if anyone is able to master a late entrance into a market, is of course Apple with its loyal client base. It is down about 15% over a six-month period and trades at a very undemanding 15 PE at the moment, and I think should certainly be added to one's portfolio at these levels.
Okay, so one to watch. Let's leave it there, Stephen. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Stephen Schultz is with Momentum.